Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Housing issues encompass a wide range of situations in this country, and you may be hearing more and more about them in the news as politicians gear up for the November elections. Here to shed some light on the issues that affect this region is Ed Murphy, the executive director of the nonprofit organization Hudson River Housing, which offers housing and supportive services to individuals and households in the Hudson Valley. Ed was also previously the former economic development director of the city of Poughkeepsie. We want you to join the conversation as well. If you have a question about affordable housing, helping the homeless, redevelopment, or any other housing-related issues that affect your community, or have a story to share, don't hesitate to give us a ring. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet us, and you know the drill. 140 characters or so, you know, it'll be good, at WAMC Vox Pop. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But we do love your phone calls, 1-800-348-2551. Ed Murphy, that's a long introduction, isn't it?
I like it, Ray.
It's a long show, so the introduction is appropriate. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and thank you for the introduction about housing.
You know, you've done good works, and your organization, Hudson River Housing, has been in operation for over 30 years, and you've done a lot for a lot of people, but there are those not in the greater Poughkeepsie area who have no idea what it is. Tell us a little bit about the organization and the history.
Hudson River Housing was organized 32 years ago to address the crisis of homelessness that was recognized in Dutchess County. Over those 32 years, we have grown from operating a 5-bed homeless shelter to a full range of services that relate to housing and community building and community engagement. So a big part of our work is community revitalization.
Has the housing crisis, if you will, increased by large numbers since the early 80s when this began?
The homelessness has increased, unfortunately. We would love to go out of the homelessness business.
Yeah.
Our mission is really geared toward preventing and ending homelessness. We started that way. We continue that way. Unfortunately, we see the numbers increasing. We run a 60-bed overnight shelter. We're the only overnight shelter in Dutchess County. And sadly, those 60 beds are filled most of the time.
And one of the other things you guys do, and I know you have a huge project in the works in this underwear factory, which we'll talk about in a minute. Also, the NeighborWorks Home Ownership Center, which I find fascinating. And from what I've read, you know, you may have helped X number of people a few years ago, but that number has greatly increased. Those who are facing foreclosure, those who are behind on their payments, it has increased so much over the past couple of years.
That's right. Starting in late 2007 and then increasing dramatically with the financial crisis in 2008, our home ownership center, all of our efforts in that center became directed toward foreclosure prevention and foreclosure mitigation. We went from educating homeowners, 95-96% of our customers were first-time homebuyers.
Yeah.
We went from that percentage to somewhere in the area of 60-70% dealing with foreclosure clients. So we'd like to see that shift turn around and go back the other way, of course.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Ed Murphy is the executive director of the nonprofit organization Hudson River Housing. We'll talk about the underwear factory in a minute. It's a funny thing to say, but it's a great project. But let's go to the phones and Mike in Cornwall. Mike, you're on.
Yes. I'd like to ask, I'm going to give the example of Troy, great 19th century productive city, now, in essence, falling apart. You have RPI, which is buying up many, many of the areas where low-income people live, the Ahern Apartments on Congress Street, et cetera. I could go on. I won't. You have South Troy, which was an ethnic, great ethnic community, also half falling apart. Lansingburg, which is just, it's unbelievable what's happening there. As far as crime, et cetera, I don't see where anything is being done in a great city like that, or what can be done, what should be done in Troy. Have they done the wrong thing in the last 20 years? And I will get off now.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. What do you think, Ed?
Well, thank you, Mike. I'm not intimately familiar with the Troy area, but we do have a another NeighborWorks organization, TRIP, the Troy Rehabilitation folks, who have been very active in Troy, and I know that they've made tremendous strides improving that city. And from what I have heard about Troy, I think that there's been a lot of forward motion.
A number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. One of the things in Poughkeepsie that I was, it struck me as I was reading up on the background of your organization, is the number of, not abandoned, but vacant buildings in the main street, a big block of that, and apartments that were once above stores and restaurants, now vacant, the stores themselves gone. And so then comes the underwear factory. And tell me about that.
I'd love to talk about the underwear factory because it's a conversation starter. The underwear factory is in the center of what we call our middle main area of the city of Poughkeepsie. It's a, it's an area we defined and very simply stated by middle main. It's the middle of the city of Poughkeepsie.
It's a few blocks.
It's six blocks long. It's a very challenging undertaking on the part of Hudson River Housing. But we really are the facilitator to bring together that community. We think that if that neighborhood comes together, and what we do is we've started the meetings. This goes back 6 years, and we're still hard at it. We believe that if the business community and the residential community come together with us, with local government, we can make tremendous strides. We've seen great improvement. We have what we call the Made in Middle Main campaign. We have a marketing campaign. We have a tagline, Middle Main, just a little bit off center, to highlight that we're a little different than the rest of the city. We're trying to attract artists, artisans, makers, bring some energy into that area. There's a tremendous immigrant community in Middle Main, a Mexican immigrant community that's very active, opening businesses. We're seeing a great deal of activity, and yet there's still stretches of Middle Main where there's nothing going on, Ray.
And so the underwear factory, which was once part of the booming manufacturing economy, which was everywhere in the great Northeast, now has been abandoned for a long period of time. And this project of yours, which, as I understand it, the Hudson River Housing mainly does nonprofit things, but there is a for-profit component to this, which makes it a little different.
That's right. We are a nonprofit, but we also believe in social enterprise. And social enterprise does not mean nonprofit necessarily. It means that entrepreneurs who have an interest in improving their community could come together at this Poughkeepsie Underwear Factory, which is a historic mill building, about 140 years old, and participate in entrepreneurial activities. We're building this around local foods, the whole local food movement, which often turns into local foods to fancy, expensive restaurants.
We've talked a lot about that on Vox Pop.
Well, what we want to do is bring local foods to the city. People of all income brackets deserve good nutritional foods, and we want to key into that. So far, we have been attracting a lot of attention, and we have some entrepreneurs lined up who we believe will be contributory toward bringing back the Middle Main area. And the underwear factory is our centerpiece project.
And there is some grant money involved and some seed money. How is the city of Poughkeepsie reacting to this? How is the government of Poughkeepsie helping with this? Obviously, it would be a win-win if this takes off.
Yes. The city and Dutchess County have been very helpful. We have received considerable financial support from Dutchess County through their Department of Planning and Development, through the Federal Home Program. And we have support for affordable housing apartment development at the Poughkeepsie Underwear Factory, where we will be building 15 affordable dwelling units. Six of them will be work-live lofts. And
what does that mean?
A work-live loft is a place where a creative person, whether they're an artist or a graphic artist or even someone who just works at home, could both work and live in the same place.
Mm, okay.
And these are basically one-bedroom apartments with a work area and full kitchen facilities. And then we have efficiency apartments also planned for the Poughkeepsie Underwear Factory.
The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We are speaking today with Ed Murphy, the executive director of the nonprofit organization Hudson River Housing. We talk housing issues with you. We'd love to hear from you. We will take a short break, and the phone lines are beginning to get loaded up, so we'll get back to the phones in just a moment. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Washington County Tourism, presenting the Washington Local Development Corporation Washington County Business Showcase this Thursday, 2 to 6 p.m. at Christ the King, Greenwich, WashingtonNYCounty.com. Ye Old Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities, open 7 days a week, YeOldWarwickBookshop.com. And Dia Beacon Contemporary Art in the Hudson Valley, Community Day, Saturday, October 11th, featuring Carl Andre, sculpture as placed from 1958 to 2010, open Thursday through Monday, 11 to 6, diaart.org. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org.
Hey, don't forget the fun drive starts on Monday at 6 a.m. Yeah, that's this coming Monday. Alan Chartok will be at the helm. I'll be sitting right across from him getting coffee, whatever he needs, a bagel or whatever. We hope you join us for the fun drive. It's always an interesting experience. If you want to make that drive shorter and get back to regular programming earlier, you can do what we call feed the lockbox. Go to WAMC.org, make your pledge now. Everything will count on the very first minute of the fun drive on Monday morning. We have a challenge on the table, $30,000, if we can hit the $300,000 mark. And at last check, I think we have about $18,000 to go, maybe a little less than that. So if you want to help us make that challenge, hey, we go in at 3:30. It's a $1 million fun drive. We're a third of the way done when we start, which ain't bad. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Ed Murphy, executive director of the nonprofit organization Hudson River Housing. Ed, the phone lines are loaded, but before we get to the lines, you have a big event coming up.
We sure do. Tomorrow night, we'll be celebrating 32 years in business serving Dutchess County and the Poughkeepsie area at our annual Evening by the Hudson Gala at the Grandview, right on the Hudson River in the city of Poughkeepsie.
Beautiful.
And we'll have Peter Carey from NeighborWorks America as our keynote speaker. Peter is currently the chief operating officer of NeighborWorks America.
Okay. And NeighborWorks is an umbrella organization for many community groups?
It is.
Am I correct?
NeighborWorks is chartered by the federal government. Congress chartered NeighborWorks to foster and to promote affordable housing and community building throughout the country. We are one organization of a 240-some-odd organization network of nonprofits across the United States.
Mm-hmm. And to find out more about this event, is there a website, Ed?
Yes, sir. HudsonRiverHousing.org.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Joseph in New Paltz, you're up.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Hi, Joseph.
Yes. Thank you. It's great to hear Ed talking about all the progress that's happening over in Dutchess County. I was in a call. It was actually funny. The first caller mentioned Troy, and I was in a call and mentioned that, about the progress that's been going on with Troy and rehabilitating some of those old, beautiful industrial buildings. So I just wanted to throw one idea out there. I'm really, I'm from New Paltz, so it's great to hear the progress that's happening at Poughkeepsie. I'm a software developer and entrepreneur, and, you know, it's with student loans and everything else like that, there's definitely a void for affordable housing for college graduates who are trying to start businesses but are also paying down student loan debt. And so my idea is that, you know, I did a Habitat for Humanity. It was an excellent experience, and I was able to see the ability for volunteers to be able to produce, you know, a housing for something. And for someone like me who's able-bodied, if I had the opportunity to help rehabilitate a building and also potentially work my way into a position to have a spot in a building, I think a lot of people of my generation would be open to, you know, put the work in to actually rehabilitate a building if it meant that they could potentially have housing and a space for them to build their businesses if they're trying to. So that's my idea. I'm going to leave it to you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Joseph. Ed?
I love it. At Hudson River Housing, we are always looking for creative new ideas, and I think it's something that could be pitched to the city of Poughkeepsie. One of the thoughts we had at the Poughkeepsie Underwear Factory was to develop spaces, apartments, and with the potential for them to be personalized or finally completed by the future occupants. That could drive down the cost of the housing if they could show that they were able and willing to do that kind of thing.
Now, if memory serves, the Underwear Factory was originally going to be a purely commercial venture, the Cooperage or something like that, and that didn't end up panning out.
Actually, the Cooperage was going to be 100% residential.
But it was a commercial entity that was putting that
yes,
in, right?
Yes, it was a for-profit developer.
Right.
And indirectly, we acquired the building after him. Unfortunately, he fell upon hard times during the economic meltdown.
As many did, yes.
A lot of people lost their properties, and he was in jeopardy of losing his. We were able to make a three-way deal with him and his lender, and that's how we ended up as the owners.
All right, let's go back to our lines. 1-800-348-2551. Beth in Niskayuna. Beth, you're on.
Yeah. Before I get into it, what percentage of the low-income people in your community were you able to house through your project? It is a nice idea. I like it. But what percentage were you able to help? Do you know?
Beth, this project is just in the design phases now. We are not ready for occupancy at this time. But our goal is to help 100%.
Apartments. I'm not knocking it, but I'll go back to my. I think it's a phenomenal idea, but I'm curious about the percentage. But the reason I called is I live in a upscale community with little to no low income housing, and I'm not even sure these days with inflation what counts as low income housing.
That's a great question, Beth, and we will answer that in a moment.
But the issue is that all of these developers have been allowed to come in and put in developments. They're called ghost towns or ghost developments because most of the houses are extremely expensive, but they're not occupied. And then throughout Niskayuna, it would not be a bad idea to see someone create low-income housing because at the same time as these very expensive houses, $300,000 and $500,000 houses have gone in empty. There are, on every street that I walk on, I take the dog out quite a bit, at least one house that is foreclosed and abandoned, sitting there rotting, owned by Bank of America or whatever, and nobody has, So it's a problem, I think, of allowing developers to build these. I don't know why they do it, because our taxes pay for the streets to go into those places, but none of the developers are required, at least in Niskayuna, to put in anything resembling a low-income house.
Okay.
And then on every street, as I mentioned, as these monstrosities are built and sit empty, there are foreclosed properties, abandoned properties, where you can see nice families once lived.
Yeah.
Sometimes they've walked away with left their furniture. And it would be nice to see somebody come in and make those into something affordable, especially in this very expensive neighborhood.
Thanks, Beth. We appreciate that. Ed, you want to comment?
Yes, Beth. I think it's a good point. You know, what you're talking about, you know, they're referring to now is the zombie inventory of homes that banks have started foreclosure on. People have walked away or they have never been inhabited, and they're just sitting vacant and bringing down the entire community. We don't have that problem in the city of Poughkeepsie, but there is that problem to some extent in Dutchess County. I know that the Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, is introducing a new program to move that along.
Okay.
And eliminate that, or at least reduce that as an issue. As far as affordable housing, we don't subscribe to having quotas or anything like that. We believe that every community should recognize the need for housing that is affordable. I think that's the key word. Affordability is sometimes defined, and I think it's a very simple concept. If you think of your total income and a maximum of 30% of it going toward your housing costs, that's how we generally define affordable housing. So it can be affordable for all income brackets, but we don't like to see it exceed 30% of gross income. In Poughkeepsie and throughout Dutchess County, Hudson River Housing has been involved in what we call inclusionary zoning. We have had towns reach out to us, and we've worked also with Dutchess County Planning and Development to connect with these towns throughout Dutchess County to help them craft a zoning policy that would encourage inclusionary housing. In other words, a component of each housing development having a certain percentage of affordable units.
What's in it for the municipality if X percentage is now at a much lower rate? From a tax standpoint, what is in it for the municipalities?
Well, for the municipality, I think the forward-thinking municipalities really understand that a community is not just high income, and we certainly don't want communities to be just low income. I think the goal is to have a mix of incomes to have a healthy community. Affordable units in these developments, typically you cannot even tell the difference between the more affordable for sale units and the higher priced for sale units, because the exteriors of the units are very similar.
We're talking with Ed Murphy, the executive director of the nonprofit organization Hudson River Housing. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Kerry in Plainfield, Massachusetts. You're on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I'm calling for is some time back, I used to be a maintenance manager for a 60-unit housing project. About a third of those were Section 8 in Massachusetts. That's subsidized housing. And you know, for the most part, the people, the tenants were pretty good, but there were some that simply were not good tenants. Actually, there was one case where this young girl, she had a young child, and I believe she was even pregnant at the time for the second one. And they were able to get a swing set into the living room, and the kid was destroyed the sheetrock just pushing off the wall and, you know, did a lot of damage and things like that. She was evicted, but it was very time-consuming, and it was very expensive to do the repairs after. And, you know, I sympathize a lot of times with homeowners, or not homeowners, but property owners of rental property, because a lot of times they're considered slumlords. And I think it's frustrating for them, because I think a lot of them try to keep their property up, but if the tenants don't really appreciate what they have, it's a dilemma that's very frustrating for everybody.
And
what do you do in a case like that? I mean, like I said, the eviction process is time-consuming, and it doesn't always work. And where do they go once they're evicted to another they have to live somewhere.
What do you think?
Good point, Kerry. And I think that we're in a good position to deal with situations like that, because Hudson River Housing started as an organization serving homeless individuals and families. So we're very familiar with and understand the issues that challenged people, and typically they're economically challenged, but sometimes there's chemical dependencies, substance abuse, and other challenges going on in and around their lives that make their living a little more difficult. A lot of single parent households. What we do is we couple property management with a certain amount of what we would call case management, so that we become familiar with the residents that we rent to, and we stay in touch with them, so that we're sort of on top of what's going on in their lives. And we keep an eye on the property, too. We have to protect our assets.
But Carrie's point is a good one. What do you do in a situation where there is a tenant that is not a good tenant? You're doing your best as an organization to help. You certainly don't want to see someone thrown out on the street. What happens in a worst-case scenario?
Worst-case scenario, we evict. The last case, worst case. But
has it happened?
Oh, yes. But it's after a process of trying to work with the tenant. I think some landlords would just go right to the eviction process. That's not what we consider a success for either us or the tenant. If we can reach that tenant in some way, we do that. But in the worst case scenario, we have to go forward with an eviction.
We're joined by Ed Murphy today of Hudson River Housing. And, the button broke here. Hang on. We're going to go to line four if I can get it. Harriet in Woodstock, are you there?
Hi, yes. This is Harriet in Woodstock.
Hello.
Hi. This topic gets me riled up.
Uh-oh.
Because I hate the word affordable. I don't think it should even be in our language for things like renting a home and stuff. But here's the thing. If you work really hard and you pay your mortgage, and one day you reach the point and you have paid your mortgage, and you throw a party and your friends come over, it's like, wow, we own our own home. But I've got news for you, my dears. You do not own your own home. If you fail to pay your property taxes, you will lose your home. You do not own your own home. And I contend that if the property taxes in this state, and maybe other states, I don't know, were reasonable, affordable, much lower, that there would be no need for affordable housing because landlords wouldn't have to charge to pay their property taxes. I'm going to tell you a secret.
Okay.
That I don't care if the whole Hudson Valley knows. I live in a beautiful house. I'm very blessed. And I could not live here if my family did not pay the property taxes. The property taxes on this land, which is lovely, are more than my annual income. So would I be able to live in my town of Woodstock? No. And that would be sad because it's a lovely town. I'm happy here. And I put the blame, not entirely, but maybe 75, 80% on the absolutely insupportable property taxes we have to deal with.
Well, Harriet, thank you very much. Ed, I don't know how you're going to respond to that, but go right ahead.
Well, I think every resident in New York State might want to respond to that. I think New York is a high property tax and a high tax state. We all know that. But as far as a policy prescription, at this point, I think I'm going to leave that to the state government to continue to work on.
All right, fair enough.
There's been some progress.
Give you a mulligan on that. Daniel in Rosendale. Daniel, you're on.
Hi. I'm going to put a plug in for Rosendale. It's become a very hip and exciting arts place, and people can come visit, especially on the fourth Friday. We have a lot of things going on.
Okay. Are you hip?
But I do want to... I'm too old to be hip.
All right, good. I'm with you.
So I have both a sort of a small scale and a larger scale question. In my own neighborhood, just two houses up, there's a house that was foreclosed on. It's now kind of falling apart. I'm not really dying to become a developer, but I if it goes through another winter, I think it's going to only be fit for being bulldozed. And I'm wondering, you know, how would I go about finding out, you know, which bank or who owns this property with the goal of, you know, buying it and fixing it and selling it?
Okay.
Daniel, that's actually pretty simple. Just go to your local assessor's office. And he or she can direct you and give you the information on the ownership or the county records department in Ulster County, and they can help you out with that.
Great. Okay, thanks. Now let me just broaden this a little bit.
Okay.
You know, just within the whole town, is there, and maybe that's the same place, but is there a central registry that could help us, you know, so that as a town we would know which houses have been foreclosed on, or and then hopefully even which houses you know, I guess banks start this like pre-foreclosure proceeding and stuff so that we could perhaps intervene and try and prevent further foreclosures. Is there some like registry of that somewhere? Or?
Again, if you go to the county records department, I would direct you to the Ulster County office building.
Okay.
And address your question to them. And there is a list when there's a pre-foreclosure process. There is a list of properties that are involved in that. And
great.
At that point, you know, very often the lender is more interested in, you know, they have to file the legal papers, but they're more interested in resolving the issue.
Great. Great. Thank you very much.
Daniel, good luck with your hipness, my friend.
Thanks so much.
1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Ed Murphy, Executive Director of the nonprofit organization Hudson River Housing. The big event is tomorrow night, or is it all day long, or is it tomorrow night?
It starts at 5 p.m., 5 to 9.
Okay, and the web address for you guys, hudsonriverhousing.org. All right, we'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more of your phone calls, 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero passive house home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations, serving Western Massachusetts, KentHicksConstruction.com. Lexington Vacuum, Albany, New York, a local independent vacuum dealer of Miele, Sebo, Simplicity, Dyson, Electrolux, and more. Sales, service, repairs, LEXIVAC.com. The City of Kingston, home to the annual O Positive Festival, bartering the art of medicine for the medicine of art. 3 days of public art, music performances, and a health expo and clinic for participants, October 10th through the 12th, kingston.opositivefestival.org. And Friends of Chamber Music, presenting Dover Quartet, playing string quartets by Beethoven, Haydn, and Vivian Fung, and pianist Louis Loraseb, Saturday, October 11th, 7:30 p.m. at the Emma Willard School in Troy. friendsofchambermusic.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We're joined today by Ed Murphy, Executive Director of Hudson River Housing. You know, over the past 15 years, 20 years, this country has seen a lot of war. And it grows all the time, the problem of homeless veterans. And I wonder how your organization tackles that.
We recognized that veterans were so underserved, and the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts, of course, brought that again to the forefront of consciousness throughout this country. And we also knew from years of running an overnight shelter that we were seeing Vietnam veterans at our overnight shelter. With bipartisan support from Congress, there's the great support for veterans and concern for their welfare. We applied for a grant a few years ago, Support Services for Veteran Families, and were awarded a grant by the Veterans Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's allowed us to go forward and hire some folks and work directly with the veteran population. But beyond that, we understood that homelessness was a real threat to veterans, both individuals and families. So what we did was we leased a building in Poughkeepsie with 25 single-room occupancies. These are rooms with a sink. We put in a refrigerator and a microwave in each one. They share a common bathroom. And we have a lot of common living spaces. We have a very nice large kitchen, living areas, dining area, and a library in this building. And we've been able to serve 25 veterans who were either homeless or about to be homeless.
Are they long-term residencies?
Yes, yes, Ray. This is permanent housing for these veterans. They can stay as long as they want. It's very low-cost housing. We found that many veterans we're living or subsisting on very low incomes, and we are able to offer them these rooms in a very nice setting, renovated rooms, a renovated building, for somewhere in the area of $400 a month.
Mm.
So it's much less than a one-bedroom or even a studio apartment in our area.
Are there enough rooms?
You know, we're almost at capacity right now.
Yeah.
We are in the process of, and hopefully we'll be acquiring yet another building where we will be able to continue this. We also bought a bank give us a very large house in Poughkeepsie, which we renovated and opened it up for four women veterans. So we're renting that now, or at least we're marketing it for women veterans. And again, it's single room occupancy, very nice large rooms with private baths, mm-hmm. and shared common facilities.
Ed Murphy is our guest. 1-800-348-2551 is the number here on the home stretch portion of Vox Pop. Pete in New Paltz. Pete, is that you?
It is.
You're on.
Hi, Ed. Ed, I'm the chair of the board of Habitat for Humanity in Dutchess County, and I believe we both share some similar visions. I believe we both have lobbied, both of our organizations have lobbied the city council and county executive to help put some of these, occupy some of these homes and put some of these houses. We try to put some of these homes back on the tax rolls, and you try to fill them with affordable living. How would you feel, and we can talk sometime maybe off the air about collaborating with Habitat and approaching the city council about putting some of these vacant condemned homes back on the market, like I said, for affordable homes or as rentals.
Yeah, Pete, I'd love to talk to you about that. We have very much aware of course of Habitat for Humanity and your chapter, and I think it would be great if we could partner and do something together.
All right, Pete, thank you, and I'll let you guys connect off the air here. Let's go to Jill in Waterford. Jill.
Hi, gentlemen. I have a comment that I'd like to make with regards to actually personal experience. I live in the town and village of Waterford, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I love it there. I've been there 30 years or more. But one thing that I've started noticing over the past, or I'd say the past decade, is that a lot of the... I'm a renter. Let me start out with that.
Okay.
I am a renter. I'm not a homeowner. But what has been happening is a lot of the apartments, they're maybe, old houses that have been turned into apartments. They've been bought by developers, renovated, and turned into high-end apartments. There was an apartment that I lived in that I loved, and for reasons I won't go into, I had to move out. But the homeowner turned it into a high-end apartment, and the rent tripled in that little apartment that I used to rent. I also lived in a complex, and the rent went up every single year. After 5 years, actually, no, 4 years, I was basically priced right out of it.
Okay. So we...
How do you address situations where, the developers just want to make dwellings for high-end people?
Great point. And capitalism, how does capitalism jibe with what you do, Ed, given that these people have a right to make money and make profits, but how do you deal with that situation?
This is an age-old problem. We have some of that going on in the city of Poughkeepsie down along the river, where developers have purchased some properties, and of course they want to make them as high-end as possible and maximize profits, the definition of capitalism.
Yeah.
What we find is that... and this goes back decades. Cities that were discovered and suddenly became cool and hip have started to experience this kind of gentrification. I think it's something that's always going to go on. And I think that one of the things that can be done is that if your local elected officials are serious about maintaining a balance or want to maintain a balance or feel that they have the leverage to do that, you can introduce, I mentioned earlier, inclusionary zoning. It can become a requirement that developers include a certain amount of units that are affordable to other income brackets and not just the high end. And the other option is there's programs called linkage programs where if a developer wants to convert a building and make it all high end, he or she makes a contribution to an affordable housing fund in that jurisdiction. So there's various ways you can go about it.
Is that the future?
I would like to see actually more high income in the city of Poughkeepsie. We are an affordable housing developer, and we believe strongly in housing for all income brackets. The last thing in the world we want to see is all low income housing. We want to see housing that is affordable. So, and we don't want to be the only ones building housing. So I think the healthiest communities are mixed income communities. I'd love to see a little bit more of that in the city of Poughkeepsie.
We're joined by Ed Murphy today on Vox Pop, 1-800-348-2551. Barbara in Woodstock. Hi, Barbara. Barbara, are you there? I'll try it again. Hello, Barbara?
Yes, hi.
Okay, you're on.
Hi. Thank you. This is such a timely topic. I'm a real estate agent in Ulster County, and just today, and this is typical, I got an email from a woman who is a Repco client. She's disabled. She called on an apartment that she saw somewhere, maybe online, and I'm looking it up for her. It's $550 a month. She won't be able to get it, I'm quite sure, because it's listed as a commercial industrial space, yet she's looking to live in it. That price point, I find, is impossible. And I usually tell people in similar situations to look on Craigslist or look in other places than to call a real estate agency, which always has to get a commission.
So, I mean, it's impossible for you to make anything on it. Is that your point?
Well, we're in the business to sell,
yeah.
Sell houses,
okay.
Or purchase them. I want to help people, you know. I drive around the county, and I see people post signs very often outside their house, apartment for rent. First of all, they won't go to an agency because they don't want to and really can't afford to pay a commission to get, you know, they'd rather do it on their own. And it probably wouldn't work for a lot of the people who need these inexpensive places because they very well may not have transportation. So they need to be in some place like Central New Paltz that has a Loop bus, or Kingston that has some bus service. You know, they can't go too rural. I mean, it's just, I don't know where to, I can't help these people.
Yeah.
You know? And I wish I'm going to have to get on the phone after I get off with you guys and call this woman and break this news to her. Anytime something inexpensive and halfway decent comes up, there are multiple people calling to go see it. You know, and only one of them is going to get it.
Yeah. Thanks, Barbara. 1-800-348-2551. Ed, you want to comment?
Well, Barbara mentioned RUPCO, and RUPCO is an organization very similar to Hudson River Housing. They, too, are a NeighborWorks organization. And as far as her client or this person she was speaking about, I think it would be best if that person actually called RUPCO directly and ask for a list of, you know, possible housing options for her.
Okay, let's go back to our line. And another Ed. Ed in Kingston, you're up.
Hi there. Hi, my name's Ed. I'm also from Rosendale. So I would like to comment about Rosendale, about those hipsters there. A number of years ago, maybe 10 now, a group came in and they wanted to do affordable housing. I happened to be sitting on a committee there. Matter of fact, I co-chaired it. The Rosendale hipsters, including Manager Joe Green, who's a representative now, were totally against this program because they were more concerned about how much the developer was going to make, even though he had affordable housing built into it. And the other part was a number of the people in the community didn't want affordable housing at all. So even though there was going to be a, you know, a tiered approach to the housing, they rejected the whole project. So it ended up coming off the tax rolls and donated to the town of Rosendale, and now this property is off the tax rolls. And there's no affordable housing. And subsequently, I have decided to build housing myself in the Kingston area, new houses, which I have rented to people. And a lot of them are, you know, it cost me a lot of money, and I didn't mind that. And I put the houses up. But the bottom line is I had two experiences with affordable housing myself. Now I have a different appreciation, which is negative, by the way, for affordable housing. And REPCO was the situation. And I had one person, one family. I only have like five houses, and two of them. One was basically destroyed. All the carpeting was destroyed. The house is 2 years old. Five doors are broken. The refrigerator seal around the refrigerator, how you do this,
okay,
was ripped off.
All right, we get it.
You know, so it didn't work.
Okay.
And then evicting him was another problem.
Took all right.
4 months.
All right, we get your point there, Ed. Ed Murphy, what do you think?
What do you think, Ed?
I think property management is the most important part of being a landlord. And, you know, building a relationship with tenants, and sometimes those relationships go sour. But, you know, what we do is we just try to keep the communication open and the observation opened on our units, and that we keep a handle on the condition. As far as the initial story about Rosendale, I think communities are shooting themselves in the foot when they don't recognize the need for housing that is affordable.
But how do you deal with the stigma automatically attached to affordable housing?
Well, I always go back to the income definition of, you know, affordable housing. Everyone should be able to afford housing. If they can't, it really causes more of a problem for the entire community. When people can afford housing, they tend to invest more in the community and feel a part of it. When they're under such financial stress and there is no housing that is affordable, they're either traveling long distances to get to work, and the rural problem is definitely a problem. The transportation is a problem. So they tend to be attracted to city centers and more urban areas. But I think that all communities should recognize that there are people in their communities who need housing that is affordable, and they are people who work in their communities, and there's no reason to exclude them.
Okay. And, you know, his other point about wanting to help and wanting to provide this and having these terrible experiences, that's also a legitimate problem to deal with.
It is a legitimate problem, and I just have to go back to, you know, really active property management is the key. We at Hudson River Housing, we own and manage over 400 dwelling units, and we find that we have a very active property management department that sometimes they're counselors. They work with the tenants.
All right, let's go to Marcia in Albany. Marcia, you're on with Ed Murphy.
Hi.
Hi.
I was listening to your program, and I think it's timely to bring up Andrew Cuomo's role in the housing, affordable housing shortage that exists in our state. When he was head of HUD a number of years ago, he would get money for affordable housing from the federal government, and he would funnel it to developers in New York City who would build shelters, which turned out to be very unpleasant, violent places that people didn't want to go to. So again, we come back to the issue of developers, politicians, and why this is such a problem.
Okay, we're almost out of time here, Marcia, but thank you. Ed, you want to respond to that?
Yes, I think the need for shelters in New York City was an extreme case. There was a tremendous need to shelter people. At Hudson River Housing, we provide shelter, emergency shelter, and emergency housing. We don't feel that that's the answer. We don't want to add more shelter beds. What we want to do is really move people toward more self-reliance and move them toward permanent housing and help them make that transition. We've been pretty successful doing that. In the past year, we've moved 100, well over 100, I think somewhere around 150 shelter guests from our overnight shelter to more permanent housing.
Ed Murphy, it has been an informative hour, and it has moved very quickly. Thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And good luck with the fundraiser tomorrow. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell, who answered the calls today. Support comes from the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of the Lake George region since 1988, lglc.org. And Catholic Central High School, Troy, New York, a co-educational college preparatory school educating students grades 7 to 12, hosting an open house on Sunday, November 2nd at 1 p.m., cchstroy.org. Thanks again for listening and for all your very interesting phone calls today. Tomorrow, it's astronomy with our friend Bob Berman. Stay tuned now for a news update.